from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, we begin with information all about the Bay Bridge closure scheduled over Labor Day weekend and what it will mean for commuters and overall traffic. What will the long-awaited bridge be like to travel across? And will the bridge be not only ready on September 1st, but also safe? Then at 9:30, we turn our attention to a new research study on how exercise affects sleep and what it means for insomniacs, as well as for the relationship of those two necessities to good health, enough sleep and enough exercise. Forum is next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. In this first opening segment, we want to talk about the Bay Bridge. Transit officials are urging commuters to take public transportation when the Bay Bridge shuts down for 5 days, beginning Wednesday at 8 p.m., and they're warning drivers to expect significant delays in and out of San Francisco. So we want to discuss commute options, and not only during the closure, but looking ahead at the much-appreciated and anticipated opening of the Eastern Span. With us here in studio, Dan Brecke, who is, of course, editor for KQED Radio News. Dan, good to
have
you aboard. Good morning to you. Andrew Gordon will say good morning to you as well. He's with us by phone, Bay Bridge spokesperson, not only with the MTC, the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, but you come under kind of a tripartite umbrella, Andrew. You're in the employ of who else?
That's correct. I also represent Caltrans and the California Transportation Commission.
Great. Good to have you. And we also have Randy Rensler with us by phone. He's Director of Legislation and Public Affairs for the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. And we should mention that's the transportation planning, coordinating, and financing agency for the 9-county Bay Area. And let me begin, if I may, Dan Brecke, with you. This is, as I said, long anticipated. How ready are we?
Well, transit disruptions are what we do in the Bay Area. We've had a BART strike, we've had a threatened BART strike, and we've had several Bay Bridge closures over the last decade, and there's a drill in place. So I think we're as ready as we can be.
Well, actually, in fact, historically, light holiday, Labor Day, in past years, 2006, 7, and 9, when there was work on the Bay Bridge?
That's exactly right. And it's done by design, because this is a time, people's last chance to take that break for summer, avoid the transit nightmare that we're all expecting, and maybe not go to work at all. If they do go to work, maybe there's a lighter load on the whole system.
FHA has signed off on this, but there was a lot of concern about the bolts and all, and so in people's minds, can they feel safe about this? It's kind of a temporary fix-up, isn't it?
I think people have reached a point where the response from Caltrans and the other agencies involved in building the bridge has gone a long way in terms of things like, you know, doing testing that may that perhaps should have been done before, but performing testing recently that shows that most of the bolts in the sensitive areas are probably going to be fine. And they have a workable plan for retrofitting the parts of the bridge that that are real problems.
Andrew Gordon, what's being done over the Labor Day weekend? Mainly finishing touches or maintenance? What?
Yes. So I would on the West Span, there's going to be significant work being done just from an inspection and a maintenance perspective. But the real work taking place over the weekend is at the east and west end of the new span, that close to the Toll Plaza and at the Yerba Buena Island Tunnel, to really kind of connect those ends of the new span in. And that's predominantly going to be paving, striping, and moving a barrier rail.
So they'll be connecting, connecting to the existing Toll Plaza and the Yerba Buena Island.
That is correct. The physical connections already are there. They just need to do a little bit of paving where you currently have live traffic, as well as some striping and moving a barrier rail. They're going to be installing a drainage system by the Toll Plaza.
And what about the bike path?
The bike path is mostly completed on the new the new bridge. It can't go all the way to Yerba Buena Island until about, I would say, early 2015, because the original bridge is in the way. But they'll be over the weekend demolishing a section of the original westbound approach onto the bridge from the toll plaza that's currently in the way, and putting in a temporary detour, a connector that will allow people from the Oakland side to get onto the pedestrian bike path starting at noon on September 3rd, and they'll be able to walk and ride out just past the tower.
And Dan and I were talking about this before we went in the air. What's going to be happening to the old stuff? You going to auction it off or just use it as scrap? What?
That, I think, is up to the discretion of the contractors who have the responsibility of taking that bridge down. I believe there are some sections that will be preserved for historical purposes. I'm not quite sure how much. But in terms of recycling the rest of the bridge, I believe that's at the discretion of the contractors.
Talking to Andrew Gordon, who's a Bay Bridge spokesperson. What about that opening party? I guess there's a rain check on that, and the governor's not going to be coming to the opening. Who's going to be there?
I'm going to defer to Randy Rentschler on that question.
Randy, deference to you.
Well, Michael, it's good to be here. You know, we had originally hoped to get the public out there in a nice, you know, public access event, but the timetable simply has not allowed that to take place. So we're going to have a traditional chain-cutting event, a few speeches by some elected officials, and get that bridge open as soon as we can to traffic.
Well, let's talk about traffic. I mean, it's going to be, as Dan Brecke said earlier, the usual kind of formidable challenge for Bay Area commuters. Best advice is use BART. Is BART going to be ready for all this?
Look, BART's going to be ready. And look, the one thing great about the Bay Area that we all live in is we have all of these transportation choices. We probably don't think about it every day, but to get across the Bay, if you're going east to west or any other form, you can take BART, you can take the ferry boats. Some folks are just going to have to drive around the Bay Bridge if they need to, across the San Mateo or across the Richmond Bridge. I guess my biggest concern is Wednesday night. People are going to go to work on a normal basis on Wednesday, but they need to remember that the Bay Bridge is going to be closed starting at 8 o'clock that evening. So make sure if you're going to stay late for whatever purpose that night that you're paying attention.
Now those alternate routes are bound to be pretty heavy.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Michael?
I say the alternate routes are bound to be pretty heavy.
Well, yeah, you know, they certainly are. And I think that people who normally take the San Mateo Bridge, who have the Bay Bridge far distant in their mind, are going to find out that they're going to have a lot of folks with them on Thursday morning, that's for sure.
Can you say something, Randy, about 511?
Yeah, go to 511.org where all the transit information is. BART's going to be running a 24-hour schedule there. They're going to have hour headways during the middle of the night from 1 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the morning. Check your station. You don't want to wait an hour at a station if you miss your train. AC Transit is going to have additional services, as are the ferry boats, as is Golden Gate. So if you need information on how to get around during this closure period, go to 511.org or call the three-digit telephone number 511.
And will the ferries be on that 511 website?
Oh, of course. Yeah, they're all there right now for people to make their alternative plans.
Okay, you may have questions about the Bay Bridge closure, and again, that's 8 p.m. on August 28th to 5 a.m. on September 3rd. And if you have some thoughts and you'd like to join this conversation, we welcome your involvement. You can join us right now. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. We welcome your calls, so please feel free to join us now. Again, it's a half-hour segment, so if something's on your mind, let us know and call us now. 866-733-6786. And, of course, you can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. Already getting some comments on our Facebook page. Christine writes, forget the closure. Is the bridge going to stand up to the big one? And what's with the bolts and all those other glitches? Honestly, really. Mary asks, are BART and other public transportation outlets really prepared to get people to and from where they need to be on time? And Randy Rentschler, you've just said, in effect, they will. But what about the safety question again and the seismic big one, Dan Brecke?
Well, listen, you know, it's an imponderable. It's very bad news that this key seismic structure, this shear key on the self-anchored suspension span, showed up with one-third of the bolts that were first tightened snapping within a few weeks, even a few days of when they were tightened. Nothing is going to make that concern go away except for some transparency about what kind of testing the agencies can do to show what the state of the rest of the questionable metal is. So the agencies seem to have learned that lesson and are pursuing it. But, you know, the safety question is going to be there. And I'll note, historically, this is not the first famous bridge that's had big questions about the metal woven into the structure. The Brooklyn Bridge, it was discovered, was the scene of a major fraud in terms of the quality of wire woven into the cables in the late 1870s, and 130 years after opening, that bridge is still doing daily service at a pretty amazing level. So people are going to need to bear that in mind. It's right to be concerned. Brooklyn doesn't have earthquakes. We do. But I just think the transparency is what's going to be needed to rebuild that level of trust people want to have.
Never discount the possibility of an earthquake in Brooklyn or anywhere else for that matter. Terremotos can hit just about anywhere, we've learned, I think, through the years. But Andrew Gordon, there's a structural engineer, Professor Abul Hassan Astana Asil, over at UC Berkeley, who says these large-term slates, or shims as they're called, it's just really a short-term solution.
Well, I would say that that is what their intent is. You know, when engineers were coming up with the permanent fix for those broken bolts, and let's bear in mind.
But forgive me, I should also append to that the fact that he feels maybe this is just not only a short-term solution, but not really ready to roll, not ready for prime time.
Well, I would say to that, you know, we had four independent groups in all verify and endorse this idea on their own. We had the Seismic Safety Peer Review Panel, which is made up of world-renowned seismic experts. We had the Federal Highway Administration and two engineering firms, all on their own, review this proposal to use the shims, these steel plates, in this way, and they all came to the same conclusion, is that we could use the shims to protect the bearings that are under the bridge while we're fixing those broken bolts permanently, and also use those to achieve the level of seismic safety necessary to get traffic onto that bridge.
Now, Randy Rentschler, maybe a kind of oddball question, but what about people who don't know the bridge is closed?
Well, you know, that does happen. As much as we try to get the message out, and Andrew and his team have been doing everything from what we're doing right now to television to social media to signs on the side of the road. But as you point out, some people just we just can't get through the fog of daily life. So I guess for some folks, they're going to be driving over there and wonder why the CHP officer is on the road. So my only answer is, if you're on the freeway, don't slow down and stop, just keep going. But those folks aren't here to hear that right now anyway.
Well, I'm going to go to your phone calls. Just quickly, though, Randy Rentschler, a tweet from a listener who says, I usually drive from San Rafael to San Francisco. Should I take the bus instead?
You know, I think if you're going from San Rafael, you're likely to be okay. Leave a little bit early, and you're going to be fine.
Let's go to our calls, and we'll go first to Davis. Brad, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning. I was just wondering, how does one access the pedestrian and the bicycle paths once the new bridge is open? Where is the best place to park to get there?
Andrew Gordon.
There are still ongoing discussions about ideally where is the ideal place to park. The bike path that's going to be, the bike and pedestrian path is going to be on the new span. It's actually a continuation of an existing trail. It's called the bike trail. I'm sorry, it's called the Bay Trail. And so we're hoping that people who are already on that trail, who have picked it up further down the shoreline in Emeryville and Berkeley and Oakland, can continue now have an opportunity to get onto the bridge. There is a trailhead in Emeryville near, I believe it's the IKEA, where they can access it. But in terms of kind of driving up towards the bridge and parking, those details are still being worked out. But we advise people to go to the project website, baybridgeinfo.org, where we're continually posting new information, and that will be a place where people can get information about where to access the trail before it opens on September 3rd, and as well as where to park.
Well, let me thank Brad for his call. And, of course, you can get information here by joining us at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or emailing us, forum@kqed.org. And Jody from Alameda asks, this morning, Metro Traffic Control is reporting slowdowns at the San Mateo Bridge toll plaza due to Caltrans work currently underway, with tomorrow's expected increase in traffic on the San Mateo Bridge. Can you let us know if Caltrans work is also planned for tomorrow at the SMB toll plaza, Randy Rentschler?
Well, look, first of all, thanks for that call and that heads up. Caltrans is really, really very good at making sure that they have their vehicles out of the way for a big closure. So I suspect they may be rushing to get it done today, so they're not going to be there tomorrow and the next. But we appreciate the thought, and we will certainly make a call to them.
And we'll take another call from you, from Alameda. Brent joins us. Brent, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, the Bay Farm, the ferry from Bay Farm only operates during transit hours, during rush hour hours, during the week and not during the weekend. Will that be changed during this weekend period?
I'm going to admit I don't know the answer to that. I can tell you that the Oakland ferry, there will be separate ferries from Alameda Main Street and from Jack London Square, and that they will be operating on extended hours all through the closure. If you want to give your contact information offline, I'll communicate that information to you after the show.
And thank you for the call. Dan, getting these kind of emails, and I'm not sure how you would respond to them. I mean, you've been on top of the story from the beginning, and here's Tricia, for example, who writes, honestly, I do not feel assured the Bay Bridge is safe. It is safe because we want to open on time, and what else? A little testing here and there? I'm not convinced.
Hey, Michael, this is Randy. Let me add into this. Look, the Bay Bridge was designed for an earthquake, scale of an earthquake way, way, way beyond what we have out there right now. The existing eastern span is actually a proven hazard. It actually was not that far away from tipping completely over on a relatively modest earthquake that shook for 10 to 15 seconds, whose origin was 60 miles away. The new Bay Bridge structure, particularly when people get up close to it and see it, you're going to notice that this thing is a significant engineering achievement. Now, I'm not trying to minimize the very difficult summer we had, particularly with the bolts that secure these important seismic features. But the Bay Bridge, the new structure, is engineered with enormous safety factors in there, engineered to the highest standards. Caltrans now is a world leader in seismic safety. These issues, I think, have clouded people's minds. I'm not saying that that is not important. It's extremely important. But I think people should have a lot of confidence in this structure, understanding that it was built on a standard way, way past what exists out there right now.
Dan, how confident are you? Dan Berkey?
Well, you know, I'm not afraid of bridges. But I'll tell you one thing I notice every single time I drive across that eastern span. If you're a regular user of that bridge and you remember what happened in 1989, you know exactly where that bridge panel fell down and shut down the bridge. There's replacement pavement there that's still visible today. And I think about that every time I drive over. So as to what Mr. Rentschler says, yeah, I think that this was a project that needed to happen. And I think it's almost necessarily going to be safer than what we've been driving on when we've needed a replacement for the last quarter century.
Andrew Coleman, Andrew Gordon, excuse me, can you just say something about what it's going to be like driving over the new bridge? I mean, better traffic flow, better views has been sort of those things have been heralded. What else?
Absolutely, and I'll get to that in just one second, but I'd like to piggyback on what everyone else has said and also just remind the public that the east span they're driving on now was not designed to any seismic standards. It was designed to handle heavy truckloads and high winds. This new east span is one of the most seismically advanced bridges in the world, and it is significantly far and away much safer structure to be on. So I think, as it's been said before, that the bridge that the public should be concerned about is the one that they're driving on.
And
now,
you say what to Dan Brecky's uneasiness that he just expressed?
As for the driving, I think the most noticeable change is the design. People are now on a steel truss bridge. It's double deck. When people get onto the new span, it's going to be side by side decks, and it's going to provide just these magnificent, expansive views of the bay. And I think people will also notice that the decks are a bit wider. It's still five lanes in both directions, but there's 10-foot shoulders on both sides of both decks. So while we're not necessarily increasing capacity, because you still have five lanes in the on both decks in the tunnel and on the west span, we will be improving traffic flow, because if there's an accident or maintenance work or some kind of other activity on the bridge, that can move over to the shoulder and not impede the flow of traffic.
And we go to Adam next. Adam, join us.
Hi, I just had a question regarding the residences of Treasure Island and the about a couple hundred Coast Guardsmen that work on your Buena. What's the plan to get them on base and to their homes?
The plan is, well, I would say right now there is controlled access to Treasure Island and Yerba Buena Island by car through San Francisco. Our office has been working with the Treasure Island Development Agency to make sure that anybody lives or who has business on the island during the closure has access passes and can get there by vehicle from San Francisco. Also, Coast Guard, if they're on the Oakland side and need to get to work, they'll be able to come to the Bay Bridge Construction Campus and take a boat over to the Coast Guard station.
And Adam, thank you for that question. And we have another caller on here from Oakland. That's Louisa. Good morning.
Hi, I was calling to find out what the plans are for the troll that protects the current part of the bridge.
Did you say troll?
Troll. Yes. T-R-O-L-L.
Okay.
Well, yeah, my understanding is that that will be secured and I believe moved to the new structure. I'm not sure if it's going to happen before opening or not, but you're referring to something that I think was put in place after the bridge, or at the time the bridge was shut down and then reopened in 1989.
That's correct.
All right, these are not the trolls under the bridge that we keep hearing about as like mythic.
No, this is something to this is a spirit to ward off evil.
Well, let's hope that it's efficacious. And thank you for the call, Louisa. Here's a listener, Randy Richler, says, I have to get to SFO from Davis on Saturday. I guess the San Mateo Bridge would be best for me.
Yes, it would be, unless you want to park at a BART station and take the San Mateo Bridge.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just still laughing about the troll. Look, the troll had a good run. It's protected the bridge since 1989. We're going to certainly we're going to take care of the troll as well. But the one thing fun about the troll is the troll was put there without any officialdom, without any yeses or nos, and we're very hopeful another troll shows up to protect the new structure. But for those who want to see the old troll, it will eventually be in a nice place. Not in the sun. Trolls don't like the sun. At what a lot of people know is an old a rail building next to the Bay Bridge Toll Plaza. We're turning that into a facility that people can eventually participate in and use when they use the bike path.
And you feel pretty good about the bolts that are holding. What's holding the troll there?
the troll is welded on, and so we'll have to take some care to take care of the troll in the future.
I got to read an email from Owen who says, it's no burner weekend plus Labor Day in San Francisco. Go to all the bars, see no fuzzy bikes, eat brunch with no lines. Nobody talking about Burning Man. It's going to be a ghost on, and it's going to be the best. And we'll take another call, and this is from Joanna. Hi.
Oh, hey, how are you doing? I just wanted to ask actually about toll, T-O-L-L, not a troll. Is there any thought to making all the bridges toll-free during the closure just to get traffic through and keep things moving?
Randy Renshaw.
No. And the honest answer to that is generally speaking, while if you pay cash, you're going to wait in line. We urge you to get fast track where you don't have to. But no, we don't make any plans to have toll-free passage on that weekend.
And we thank the caller. And any other advice before we wrap this up? Randy Renshaw, Andrew Gordon,
Dan Brecken?
Look,
I think the first thing is to thank the Bay Area. For many years, we have closed the Bay Bridge on Labor Day weekend to get important work done. I think this is a really important moment where the Bay Bridge is finally, after all these years, going to be completed. Hopefully, we don't have to talk about it into the future, except hopefully to admire it and give people access to the bay on the bike path. And also notable that this is really the end of a 20-year effort by Caltrans to make California's highways safe. Thousands of bridges have been retrofitted across the state of California, and this is a really important moment to reflect on.
11 years of construction, $6.4 billion. Final advice from you, Andrew Gordon?
Again, I would just recommend everyone for getting around during the weekend to plan early and give yourself extra time. And I think once people get on the new span, they will recognize just what a seismically advanced structure they are on.
And Dan Brecken?
I'll be on BART.
Okay. And we'll be on the air here on KQED. We have another half hour coming up. We're going to talk about some new research on insomnia and talk about sleep and exercise. So stay where you are. I want to thank Dan Brecken, editor with KQED News, Randy Renshaw, director of legislation and public affairs with the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, and Bay Area spokesperson Andrew Gordon. You're listening to Forum on KQED Public Radio. I'm Michael Krasny.